Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kelly S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So today is Tuesday, October 8, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in We Agnostics. We are on page 51, second paragraph, down there at the bottom. It says, we asked ourselves this, through that paragraph ending with, airplane travel was in full swing, and we'll just be commenting on that one paragraph. So today's readers are going to be 12 Steps, Kathy C., 12 Traditions, Charlotte W., Susan S.H. will be reading the text, and Rena L. will be reading page 164 for us. The newcomer greeter this morning is Chris W., and the second hour host is Ken W.H. The reference number for yesterday, in case you want to listen to those, Monday, October 7, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time was 21806, 21806. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time was 21807, 21807. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kathy C. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. Good morning, family. Kathy, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy C. All right, now Charlotte W. will read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning. This is Charlotte W., gratefully recovering from compulsive overeating. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there are but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself to our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating. Sorry. And three, the only requirement of OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. And five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communications. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for allowing me to do service.
Well, thank you so much, Charlotte W. All right, guys, so here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Single reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in We Agnostics. We are on page 51, second paragraph down there a bit. It says, we asked ourselves this through that paragraph ending with airplane travel was in full swing. And we'll just be commenting on that one paragraph. And Susan S.H., she's going to get us started today. Good morning, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. This is Susan S.H. I am a compulsive overeater recovered for today. Grateful in Ohio. We ask ourselves this, are not some of us just as biased and unreasonable about the realm of the spirit as were the ancients about the realm of the material? Even in the present century, American newspapers were afraid to print an account of the Wright brothers' first successful flight at Kitty Hawk. Had not all efforts at flight failed before? Did not Professor Langley's flying machine go to the bottom of the Potomac River? Was it not true that the best mathematical minds had proved man could never fly? Had not people said God had reserved this privilege to the bird? Only 30 years later, the conquest of the air was almost an old story, and airplane travel was in full swing. This paragraph, I can always apply the paragraph to what's going on with me, but biased and unreasonable about the realm of the spirit. Flight was an unbelievable prospect. People at that time. Nobody was falling for that fairy tale again. And yeah, so they were afraid to print it at first. But perseverance and continued dreaming and working brought it about. A miracle. Okay, I'm having a mini financial crisis. And can I today drop my bias and trust completely in my higher power? I have seen miracles in my life. I have seen difficulties evaporate when I turn them over to my higher power. So I am turning this over to my higher power, and I am waiting for the guidance. I'm going to relax and take it easy, and I'm going to wait for the guidance that always comes. I want to be just as open about the realm of the spirit as I can possibly be to allow my higher power in to guide me in this time. And that is what I have found to work again and again. And I'm going to turn this over to my higher power. It seems unlikely that something is going to come up and straighten this out, but the fact is, it has before, and I trust. I trust. I have higher power, and that is where my trust is. So, I don't know how well that applies to the paragraph, but that's all I have to say about it, so I'm going to pass.
Well, thanks for getting us started, Susan S.H. Okay, guys, so we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share. And please keep your share to 3 minutes. Give me your first name, initial of your last, where you're calling from. I'm ready.
Elena C., South Carolina.
Joanne B.
Elena.
Joanne B.
Somebody B. Joanne B.
Jackie W., New Jersey.
Jackie W.
Gail H. from the state of Washington.
Gail H. Sounds like a good day to step up if you've been wanting to share. Well, we'll get started with this little group. Elena C., Joanne B., Jackie W., Gail H. The rest of you can think about it because we'd love to hear from you. All right, Elena C., you are up.
Good morning, moderator. Good morning, everyone. Nice to hear you, your voices. So my name is Elena C., recovered from Greenville, South Carolina. Pray for our state. Pray for our city. We were hit very badly by the hurricane, by the way, and it's have equipment for everything. So a lot of people are still suffering. But back to the paragraph, I didn't underline anything initially when I read this paragraph several times, but it's not underlined. However, I hear how, you know, the message of don't make anything absolute. And then just keep an open mind because we didn't believe before, but it's possible to believe now, or we don't believe now. It's possible that it's gonna change tomorrow. And that is, isn't it? That is what I need to continue to do because spirituality and science are not necessarily one yet. They can be. The science of spirituality is the fact that I don't need to understand how two and two are put together. I just know that two and two are put together. And that's the science of spirituality, you know, and I love that. Because I have an analytical mind and I just am like, wait a minute, you know, why does this happen? And, you know, God told me, don't worry about it, Elena, just go with the flow. Just enjoy that two and two are put together. Also, when two and two are not put together, why don't you just pause for a change and just say and just see how insight, what kind of insight I could send you. So then maybe you'll understand, but maybe if not, again, don't worry about it. Just go about your day and let me be your master, God says, okay? So take it easy. Go with the life. Do life on life terms, you know, breathe and find a purpose.
I think that what's the purpose? What's the purpose for me today? And you know what the purpose is? Having exposed to this program is the purpose is to truly maintain the fifth spiritual condition so that I could be of service for others. And it was not as clear as before. Even in Al-Anon, I did not get that message. I get that message here. And when I could do that, I can see when I do this, how can it be of service to others? And that's absolutely unbelievable because I am growing. My brain is growing and I put two and two together, you know. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elena C. from South Carolina. All right, next up we have Joanne B. followed by Jackie W. Where are you calling from, Joanne?
Good morning. This is Joanne B. calling in from Vermont. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I don't have the book in front of me because I'm driving, but I've read this many times, and just the notion of believing stuff, having to see something to believe it. And when I came into the program, I was, you know, I tried every diet and failed. Like, I had some success, but then the weight would come back on. And I was just baffled, really. So when I came into the program, I had to recognize that I was powerless. That's number one, step one. I was powerless over this disease. And that I had to have faith in something else. And I found a sponsor and a meeting, and that showed me that this could work, that this might be the solution. I saw visually, I was able to see people on meetings who had lost a lot of weight and kept it off, but also like were living lives that were very, you know, emotionally sober and having really fulfilling lives. And when I was going through the steps with my sponsor, she kept saying, Joanne, do you see, like she would show me how I was changing. She would, and that to me was like the proof that I needed that this worked. So even though I couldn't like see the spirit, I could see what the results of it were and are. So, you know, today I do believe, you know, I have a higher power, and that it's the powers that work in my life. And when I decide to take my will back and do things my way and get frustrated that things don't go very well, but when I look through God's eyes at things that are working and I try and see that way, then things seem to go better. So I've learned to believe and work on faith of what's not seen. And that would be my higher power at work in my life, but also in the lives of friends that I see on the line. Anyway, thank you, everyone. I'm coming up on 2 years. I think it's on Thursday in this program, and 2 years with Vision. So I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joanne B. from Vermont. Next up, we have Jackie W. followed by Gail H. Hey, Jackie, where are you calling from?
Hi, good morning. I'm Jackie in New Jersey. And I'm so thankful to be able to share with you, Good Morning Family. You know, I'm a professing at my faith, and I always thought I had, you know, a strong faith, and I didn't think I had any prejudice against my higher power, but I certainly did, because in the area of my food addiction, I was large and in charge, and I want to emphasize the large on that. I ran my same show for 30 years in OA with the same results over and over and over for 30 years before I finally was humble enough to surrender to this process and recover. And I'm so eternally grateful for the life I have today. I just had a really cool experience with my family. We took a road trip, and after the road trip, my family commented and said, you know, it was so pleasant being with you, and we could really see changes in you because you weren't trying to control how, you know, the driving was happening. And just, like, the way that I'm changing and not, I cease fighting anyone or anything. That's the main thing. Just like the big book says, we cease fighting anyone or anything. And I'm able to be present in life and not trying to manage all the situations going on and everybody else around me as if I was God's executive assistant. And truthfully, I wasn't doing a very good job when I thought I was God's executive assistant. So I'm so thankful today. And I really did have a prejudice against God working in this area of my life. And I felt like eventually I would figure it out. And the truth of the matter is I wasted decades trying to do just that. So I'm so thankful for the surrender. I think it's Nancy that says surrender, surrender, surrender. It's just a daily situation. But appreciate you letting me share. I pass.
Well, thanks so much, Jackie W. from New Jersey. And next up we have Gail H. And after Gail, we'll be taking some more names. So good morning, Gail.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Gail H. from the Seattle, Washington area. And thank you all for all that you share. And in recent times, I left my phone number, and I've received so many calls. And it just shows the love of the program, and this is what I keep learning over and over again. I've had the gift of starting 56 years ago in a 12-step program, and like so many that I hear on this line, it took 18 years of the program to get that grace and that miracle of abstinence from active compulsive overeating and bulimia that was life-threatening. And why a day at a time, as I think about it, when I look at that miracle, and it is a miracle that I get to live a day at a time without having to deal with this disease on an ongoing basis, is remarkable. And this reminds me how great a miracle it is just to be an abstinent for one day. Most people never get this great gift. And as I was brought into the program, there was this understanding at some level that I knew the program worked. And people that brought me said, this one person said, on every seat, there is a miracle. And the pain that it took to get here, is the memory that keeps me here. However, in these past years, I have been, I lost my husband of 50 years, and I've had 3 major medical events. And along the way, I wound up with the fear of just wanting to keep this lovely abstinence, of coming to a place of being underweight and having to learn how to be humble enough to let God in this program help me. So a day at a time, I am living a life I have never lived before with the amount of peace and yet also the need to yet again be willing to listen to the journey around me, follow directions, and ask for the grace of God a day at a time. And when you have a miracle in your life, I think, of course, this program works. It's just learning to walk through the suffering and be willing and grateful. So this is this program that lives in the miracle.
That's
thank
kind
you.
Of you.
Yeah, Kelly, thank you so much.
Yeah, perfect. Well, that's Gail H. from Washington. Okay, guys, We are in We Agnostics, page 51, second paragraph. We asked ourselves this. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to hear from you. Who wants to share?
Adrian N. in Florida.
Adrian N.
Matthew G.
Larry K.
Larry.
Kelsey R.
Kelsey.
Jessica C.
Jessica.
Kim C. in Tennessee.
Kim?
Yes, Kim C. Okay. In Tennessee.
Gotcha. Kim C. Anybody else? Well, that seems like a good lineup. So we'll do Adrian, Matthew, Larry, Kelsey, Jessica, and Kim. So everybody make sure you press star one so we'll have a nice quiet meeting. We'll get started with Adrian N. Good morning, Adrian. Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Adrian N. as in Nancy from Florida. And, you know, I'm up most of the night, unfortunately, having trouble. I'm sick. And I'm thinking of all the things that I have to do because the hurricane's coming. And I have all this anxiety, which I have anxiety so easily. I mean, you know, I'm just one of those people that worry about everything all the time. It's so unnecessary. And I'm thinking, you know, like they had a belief that they could fly, you know, and I have a belief in the higher power. And yet I have all this anxiety. And listening to others share, I realize that I still have to row to shore. I still have to bring in everything that could be a projectile. I still have to make sure I have water in the bathtub and water frozen, you know, in case the freezers or the electricity goes out so that as it defrosts, I have water to drink or it'll help save my food. You know, I have to prepare. And had I just gotten up and written a list of all the things I have to do and I want to, you know, like help my neighbor across the street who has a severely handicapped husband, things like that, I would have been able to sleep. I have to take care of myself, you know, because even though God is there and taking care of me and handling, you know, what I can't handle, I still have to row the boat, you know, and it's my job to do what I could do. So, you know, so that I could get through this without damage or you know, anxiety. And I don't know if that's possible to get through a hurricane without anxiety, but I will attempt to. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Adrian N. from Florida. Prayers are with you for sure. Next up, we have Matthew G., followed by Larry K. Good morning, Matthew. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. Hi, this is Matthew G., recovered compulsive overeater. I'm currently in Taos, New Mexico. Normally, I'm in Paris, France, but today is my mom's 91st birthday, so I'm here celebrating that. And I'm so grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much to this meeting. 2 years of liberation now. Of spiritual liberation, you know, and free from the merciless obsession of compulsive overeating I love, this is my favorite chapter in the whole book, and I just love all of it, every paragraph, and I just love that they talk about the Wright brothers, you know, and the childlike faith that they had, you know, and thank God they did, and thank God for this book and the steps that we have that allow us another kind of flight, which is spiritual liberation. You know, are not, in this paragraph it says, are not some of us just as biased and unreasonable about the realm of spirit? as were the ancients about the realm of the material. And this, I had this underlined, and this really spoke to me when I came in, because I really had no conception of God. And so this was just great to really, I was like, yeah, that's so true. You know, I just because we can't see it, it doesn't mean that it's not real. And it just, this really like cracked something open for me and my, open-mindedness and real step towards real childlike faith in a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity as revealed through the good orderly direction of these miraculous 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I just want to express my appreciation to everybody in this meeting, and this meeting in particular, because it's just absolutely saved my life. And I just, I forgot to put on my timer, so I don't know how much time I have left. And I hate talking over time. So just again, love to all, so much gratitude. The spiritual liberation that we talk about just a couple pages later is definitely possible. Just childlike faith, you know, and trust infinite God rather than your finite self. Love and tolerance of code of others is our code. Love to all. Bye. Ciao. Pass.
Matthew G. You can find Matthew on the member list in France. So next up is Larry K. followed by Kelsey R. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks for your service, Kelly. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. You know, we talk here about prejudice, and they give Professor Langley, we get these firm beliefs, and prejudice isn't always dangerous. Sometimes it's deadly. It's very dangerous in certain contexts. It's certainly prejudice to have a spiritual transformation as a result of the steps is deadly for some of us. It's deadly when it impedes, it's an impediment to progress, when it hinders our progress. When I read this paragraph, I often think and identify in some way. I don't know, my mind is brought to a young man that I met. And there was a prejudice. He was in high school, and there was a prejudice, as there still is in many areas of society, although we've gotten better. He was a gay young man. And here's where prejudice against him was very difficult. It was thought that he could be treated for what his parents and others in his family considered a condition that needed to be treated. Okay. Now, unfortunately for him, that prejudice was deadly. He took his own life. And he took his own life because of that prejudice that was inflicted upon him. And in society, that there was something wrong with him that needed to be corrected. Now, I don't subscribe to that. There was a time that if you were mentally retarded, you were institutionalized. It was thought to be a condition that needed to be treated, and you needed to be isolated from society. That's not that many decades ago. And if you know the history of the Kennedys, you'll know there was a sister that was treated. So my point being is not to go too off, but sometimes prejudice is fine. We're human beings. We can have prejudice. But prejudice, when it impedes progress, when it gets in the way of interpersonal relationships, it could be dangerous. When there's stereotyping, when we generalize individuals based on prejudice. And so in order... If you have this disease of the hopeless, deadly, grave, progressive variety, we found that a spiritual transformation is sufficient to arrest this disease. And I need not have prejudice against finding and being brought into alignment with a power greater than myself, because it's deadly. It's as deadly for me as it was that young man that died of his own accord because he wasn't accepted. Let me not allow prejudice to prevent me from having a beautiful recovery. With that, I pass. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Wow, that was perfect timing, Larry K. from Chicago. Next up, we have Kelsey R. followed by Jessica C. Good morning, Kelsey.
Hey, Kelly, thanks. And thanks, Susan, for leading this off. So this idea of material versus spiritual, right, material security and what I can see is what my spiritual, immature spiritual nature demands. I always needed a picture to prove that it happened. I needed to see it to believe it. And this spiritual malady turns all of that upside down. You know, earlier in this chapter, we're taught that lack of power is our dilemma. And we had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. And that's the purpose of this book, is to enable us to find that power. I just wanted to stop binging and purging. Like, that is why I came originally. And a spiritual solution seemed absolutely unrelated. And for 20 years, I chose to have 4 courses in self-will driven action, right? The right sponsor. I treated sponsors like the right diet plan. And I am, obviously, I know much better now, but I was always looking for a solution of something that I could control, right? The right sponsor, the right food plan, the right meetings, things in my power. And I chose to have one small, very small course in spiritual action and open-mindedness. No wonder I could never string together long-term abstinence. And I want my experience with God to be instant and tangible. Again, I want to see it to believe it. I need to feel something. I want to be able to prove it. But I'm learning, I was taught this comparison of, you know, the instant gratification of a light switch, right? It floods this dark room with light instantly, in comparison to a more gradual sunrise that we almost can't even witness how slow that light permeates our reality. And I'm learning that I'm given everything I need in the time that I'm able to actually receive it, to be able to absorb it and to actually change over the long term. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Kelsey. Where are you calling from?
Texas.
Oh, yeah, Texas. That's Kelsey R. from Texas. All right, next up, Jessica C., followed by Kim C. Good morning, Jessica. Where are you calling from?
Hey, Kelly. Good morning. Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. Yeah, you know, when I am biased about the realm of the spirit and I don't believe that God can make a difference in parts of my life that I'm unwilling to turn over, when I don't believe that God can enact a miracle, then I decide that I just have to try harder. I just throw more of myself at the problem. I have to work harder. I get into this hypervigilant mode. And yeah, maybe I am checking off the boxes. I'm staying on top of my workload, my to-do list. But there's no joy in life. And I'm probably accumulating wreckage at the same time. I'm probably harming people when I'm in that mode. And once again, even though I'm abstinent, I'm just a zombie like I was in the food. Maybe I'm a much higher functioning zombie than when I was compulsively eating, but I'm still just trying to get through each day by the skin of my teeth, seeing the world as a scary place where I need to protect myself. I need to work hard to avoid danger. And there's no joy in that way of living. There's no joy that comes from knowing that this God that we're trying to build a relationship with can create miracles. That is where the joy comes from knowing that's possible for me. And, you know, God can free us of our food obsession and can also lift the burden of, for me, chronic fear. And it was pointed out to me that though I may have abstinence right now, that I could have more joy in my life. And I think, again, like that joy comes from knowing that miracles are still possible, that, you know, God isn't done enacting miracles in my life. And I have to take action. I have to start doing things differently. I can't be on a spiritual plateau. So I guess I just wanted to, again, talk about the realm of the spirit and the joy that's possible when we really believe that more miracles are possible. So I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Well, thanks so much, Jessica C. from Canada. Next up, we have Kim C., and we'll have time for more shares after Kim. Hey, Kim, where are you calling from?
This is Kim C. from Tennessee. So I used yesterday, and I hadn't used for a while. I had been coming to these meetings, they've been helping so much. And I, you know, basically had the most unstressed day that I could have, and very relaxed, no structure that I had to do except for my to-do list. And the to-do list is me trying to control my output. And I was groomed to, judge myself by how much I'm able to produce. And I was judged, by other people for that, and I judge other people based on that. So yesterday, when I didn't have a lot to do, I was tired, more tired than I felt like I should be, and I had no desire to do the things on my to-do list. So I ended up binging, and when I was in the middle of it, I was like, "Why am I binging? Like, there's no stress today." But I really believe it was because of my disappointment of how I should be acting, and I was not allowing myself to be tired. And, that control and that turning things over to the divine in the middle of it is so hard for me, and so hard for me to call someone. And I've been practicing because I've had the urge to binge for a good week, calling people and talking about it. And I just think there's so much that I want to control there. And I believe, I believe my higher power can do big things. I believe my higher power can do small things, but I do not want to turn that control over. And my constant list making does steal the joy out of that, out of me just turning it over to see what's going to happen. I was very fearful about World War III all last weekend. And my husband pointed out to me, he's like, "Why don't you worry about the things you can control?" And, but obviously I can't even control myself. And so I am so grateful for these phone calls and this program to know that there's like 13,000 people on this list of people that we're all trying to work together, and people getting abstinent and people talking about being in the program for so long and
that's time,
finally
Kim.
Getting it. Thank you, because that's me. So with that, I'll pass.
All right, that was Kim C. from Tennessee. All right, guys, so we are in We Agnostics, page 51, second paragraph. We asked ourselves this, reading through that one paragraph, ending with, airplane travel was in full swing. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, we'd love to hear from you.
Charlotte.
Betty Ann, New York.
Was there a
Jenny?
Charlotte?
Nancy
Wait, hang a minute. Everybody's
Kathleen
thinking
w.
at one time. Was there a Charlotte?
Yes, Charlotte T, Nashville.
All right, and I got Kathleen W. I got Nancy P.
Jen A.
And Jen A. That's all we got. I'm afraid that's
David
all we're going to have time
H.
for.
From New York.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for. Okay, let's stop there, guys. So we have second hour meeting you can come for, or tomorrow. We'd love to hear from everybody. So I have Charlotte, Kathleen, Nancy, and Jen. I think that's all we're going to have time for. So Charlotte T., where are you calling from? We're ready for you.
Good morning. Charlotte T. from Nashville, Tennessee. And I love hearing how many people from Tennessee are on this meeting, as I've been listening for quite a while now, and those numbers have grown. I'm a little not sure what I want to say, but there were some thoughts that were coming to me. I was thinking about the idea that the idea that we believe in things that we don't know how they work, you know, like the getting on a plane and everybody else gets on the plane, so we get on the plane, we just trust that the plane works. I am an artist, I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you why light comes through when I switch the flip on the light plate switch. I don't know why, but I trust it every single time. And recently I was involved in a spiritual retreat, and I was asked to put aside my thinking around some things and my usual way of communicating and my usual way of acting, with no guarantee that there was something positive at the other end of that. But I was willing to do that, and I just I love the phrase that someone used in an earlier share, childlike faith and wonderment. And setting aside prejudice was another word that someone used. But yes, why am I judging and rationalizing and holding on to ideas that have not served me? Why not just open my tightly clenched fist to God and allow some new ideas to take place in me that will create the faith and the belief? I don't know if that makes sense, but it makes sense to me, and it's really, really helpful for me to be able to say it out loud. And I so appreciate all of the people online who've made this meeting possible and the shares that I've heard. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Charlotte T. from Tennessee. Next up, we have Kathleen W. followed by Nancy P. Good morning, Kathleen. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. I'm calling from Illinois. This is Kathleen W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I just wanted to clean my feet today. I thought today was my newcomer greeter day, but I have some problems. My sister just passed away, and I notice that I'm kind of, confused sometimes. But at any rate, I'm so glad I came in on this meeting today. I heard every single share has really helped me and strengthened me and encouraged me. I love the different, large and in charge. I certainly can relate to that. And I heard words like childlike faith, such an encouragement. One of us talking about joy, as the spiritual experience unfolds, my experience is that I have more joy in my life. I get stricken from time with perfectionism and feeling like I'm not abstinent enough. My abstinence doesn't look like other people's or what I think other people's is. And so that's when I go into my own taking control mode, taking charge. When I first came into the program, I did not believe that God could take away my compulsion and addiction to sugar for 5 years in this program. I would never commit and say, yeah, I'm going to stop eating sugar today. I knew that sugar was a powerful one, more powerful than anything I would than myself. And but one day, 5 years into this program, one day I knew I was going to have to eat a lot of sugar because there were birthday parties I had to go to. I called my sponsor at the time, and I said, I don't want to have to eat this sugar. I don't want to have to eat these cakes. And he asked me three things. You know, are you powerless over this? Yes. Do you believe that God can restore your sanity? Yes. And the third one, you know, are you ready to turn your will and life over to the care of God? Yes. Hung up the phone. He said, call me later if you have any problems. And, you know, from that day, I got free from sugar addiction. And I, you know, I don't know how that happened. It was just, God just helped me. And I took that one step of making that phone call, and it's happened to me more than once in this program. So I'm so grateful for that child.
That's time, Kathleen.
And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Next up, we have Nancy P., followed by Jen P. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Kelly. Nancy, thank you for letting me share. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. I don't care about bias and unreasonableness. Like, I don't care about any of that anymore. All I know is I tried everything except what worked. And I didn't want to try what worked because I thought I'd be, you know, I'd lose everything. I'd lose my sense of humor. I'd lose my sense of, you know, curiosity. I'd lose, you know, I'd turn into some sort of drone. And, you know, and I didn't want that. I wanted to still be me, except that the me part and all the character defects, the rage, the fear, the, you know, obnoxious behavior, all that, you know, it was sort of like better the devil you know than one you don't. I sort of had that attitude. But, you know, I was felled by the food, sobbing in my car over my afternoon box of donuts. And I, you know, finally asked for help. And, you know, this whole thing, the whole book starts with the first step. We admitted that we were powerless over food or alcohol and that our lives were unmanageable. And I feel like admitted is kind of a grudging term, you know. Well, all right, I'll admit that, you know. But today I embrace that. I hold that close. Because I know who I am and who I'm not. And, you know, today every breath I take is filled with joy and light. And every single one, you know, and I got to say, last week I shared on the line and I was just so sad and so upset. And, you know, and I remember saying, like, if you haven't, you know, wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements, try that and see what happens. And that's what I did. You know, I wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements, 12 in number, but mostly one. You know, I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. I don't really spend much time worrying about who, what, when, where, and why of the solution. I just do what I'm told. I do what I have been told. Every day I do what I've been told. And every day I get more joy and more light. And, you know, when I finally started to do what worked, then it worked. And, you know, I don't, you know, believe or don't believe. This is what I say to myself. Believe or don't believe. It doesn't matter. Do what you're told and you get all the reward. And, you know, occasionally I feel a twinge of more joy, like extra joy. And I'm like, I wonder what that is. And then I immediately say, I don't care. Because I'm going on, you know, the same way that I have been. And, you know, I'm looking at 7 years of relief from this disease and 7 years of helping other women and some men, you know, and talking to people and my world is expanding more and more and more. And I remember telling my, the pediatrician once that I thought that, ADHD wasn't a real illness. It was parents that didn't want to, that were lazy. They didn't want to do their job. And she laughed at me. And, you know, today, you know, it only took me 47 years before I said, there may be a better way. And, you know, had I known what was waiting for me, I may have done it earlier, but had I known what was waiting for me and done it earlier, I might not have the same quality of life that I have today, and it is second to none. And with that, I'll pass.
Moderator,
you can press star one.
Kelly.
Oh, my God. Sorry, guys. Okay, Jen, we have 1 minute. Do you want that 1 minute?
I'll pass. Thanks, Kelly.
Okay, so sorry, guys. I thought I was unmuted. Okay. I think somebody's messing with the dashboard. All right, so, well, here we go. We're done. Let's see. So thank you to everyone who shared. Please join our second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, October 8, 2024, 21810, 21810. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Rena L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Rena, star one. Rena, you able to get on?
Can you hear me? This is Rena L.
Now I got you. Yes.
Oh, good. Sorry about that. I'll go right into it. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us.